News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 13th of February, Anno Domini 2005. And you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you computer news and computer phone calls and computer information and just all kinds of cool stuff for the next couple of hours. So stay tuned. We'll start with the news and we'll start with Dave.
You want to go with me first?
Waiting for the... I'm watching the two of them kind of get ready here.
Yeah, no problem. I was just starting out some of these other... You know, there's so much, excuse me, in the news, you know, whether we want to actually talk about some of it. It's not worth it.
Right.
Okay, some of the things that you might want to look out for. Well, HP is finally trying to make up its mind whether they want to stay in the computer business or just stick to printers. With the competition being so heavy right now and the profit margin, it's really down there. I mean, what you can make on a computer nowadays, that's why I stick with the service and repair, because with the Dells and the Gateways and everybody else, I mean, I try to be competitive, but the margin is just not there.
They just fired their CEO, Carly Fiona, one of the very few women CEOs in any industry.
Yeah, they're really struggling whether they even want to stay in it and or stick with what they do the best. I mean, they also own Compaq, so they're actually not out of it.
Well, yeah, except that, you know what? I think it's good that they get out of every business except printers. Compaq bought DEC and killed the Alpha, which was the single best chip on the market.
Yep.
HP bought Compaq and dropped them into the river.
Yep.
I'm just not impressed by anything they've done outside of printers.
Well, it's just like IBM. IBM should stick to servers. Anytime they got into the PC world and tried to build, you know, a desktop unit or anything else like that, as you well know, I had a PC Junior.
Yeah,
and it came out for a while, and then they dropped support. So a lot of things just dropped right on off. So it's, you know, stay with what you do best and then just stick with it.
But the thing that was interesting is that Compaq had a bigger name in the home consumer industry.
Yep.
So I think they should keep selling the Compaq Presario to homes.
They might, yeah. But again, you know, some of these other
I got companies. A couple of Compaq servers that are, I'm embarrassed to say, like 10 years old, and they're just tanks. They just keep working.
All right, this one article I found very interesting. Study urges corporate caution before downloading Firefox. I'm sorry.
See, nobody looks at it. He says it backwards.
Yeah, I'm dyslexic at times. You can ask my wife. She'll sit there, you know, because what does the one say? Half a dozen one, six the other. Well, six of one, half a dozen of the other. You know, I'll reverse that.
Yeah.
Anyways. It's interesting from the aspect that they say a respected research group.
Yeah, right.
They don't mention the group, and it's just I'm just wondering if they're in Microsoft's back pocket.
Well, we find that so often.
That, you know, they're sitting there saying, well, you know, you should be very cautious because it's not the end-all of all browsers, even though it offers more features.
It's pretty dang close.
Well, it's not meant to be the end-all. It's just supposed to be better than IE.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I'm kind of suspicious about this so-called respected research group because, oh, by the way, Firefox already has these features built into it that IE is now trying to get to. So, you know, I mean, it's like they're trying to play catch-up and hold off the wolves at the door because Firefox is already there, along with Netscape and a few of the others. They stopped the pop-up blockers. You've got email filtering and spam and everything else. So, you know, I just don't see much of that happening. The other one is Microsoft, it's been out a couple weeks now, is trying to get into the market of anti-spy where Apple is. Well, they're already getting attacked with that program. They found some of these hackers and that have found holes in that part of it to now get around and put spam on your machine. And I'm kind of leery of this anyways, Microsoft getting into doing anti-spyware software anyways, because it's not what they do. They do programming for the operating system. And again, it's just like we said with
HP. Well, but you know what? I have to say,
stick with what you do the best.
Steve Ballmer lays awake at night. Somebody somewhere is making a dollar that's not going in his pocket.
Yep.
It bothers him.
And, you know, it's sad. I mean, because, well, it's just like some of the other features. You know, people complain about, say the faxing that used to be in the old Microsoft products and that didn't work very well. Well, what'd you pay for it? Well, it came with it. Well, you know, you get what you pay for.
And you pay for what you get.
And it also came with a nice offer to upgrade to the pro version of whatever it was.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and so even this anti-spyware, I mean, we've got, you know, Adaware and SpyBot, which we tout, and there's a lot of others out there, especially Adaware, which was supposed to have Michael Woods on the second half of this hour, folks. So if you have your Adaware questions, get them ready, because he's going to be calling in from Sweden, which is a little farther ahead of us, but he's going to take
it the middle of the night in Sweden right now?
It's probably around dinner time or so. And he's going to be calling in and taking your questions and telling us about some of their products, because they are great. As a matter of fact, I've just been using a new tool there, which I'll talk about when we have my drawing. So stay tuned.
Excellent. Steve?
Well, we had some interesting news in the upper world this week for investors. Apple is issuing a 2-for-1 stock split, so every Apple stockholder as of February 18th will receive twice as many shares. What they're expecting to do now is they're increasing the number of shares they have available from 900 million to 1.6 billion shares, and the neat thing is that they're basically doing it so more investors can get in, which is pretty much the reason for any company to issue a stock split. But Apple has seen their stock value rise in the last year from 21 to 81. They had a 52-week high last week ago. And so they've gone, a 400% increase in 1 year. So everyone is kicking themselves that sold at 13 because they were afraid it was going to tank out even lower. So it's interesting. Going to be interesting to see what the price goes up to. So the trading on the split adjusted basis will begin on February 28th. And actually, their stock went up several percent after the announcement, has dropped a little bit. It's down to 78 now, probably because all the people mad they didn't get in before the split deadline. So it's kind of funny to see how Wall Street marks and remarks on the stocks. And a lot of what they're saying is that the analysts are predicting a much higher yield again. They're expecting it to probably go back up to the 80 mark after it splits, so that the halo effect that they've been calling it, people buying iPods on the Windows
world. That's got to be their biggest thing right now is the iPods and the commercials. And I mean, that is one hot product.
And it's almost as if Apple's getting out of the Mac business, because there wasn't much Mac advertising. And at the Mac World Expo, everything was iPod. But they came out with this great new Mac Mini, the sub-$500 computer marketed at upgraders and Windows switchers, without much of an advertising campaign yet. So we're expecting to see, and what we have seen in a lot of respects, is that Windows users are buying the iPod because it's the coolest MP3 player you can find. And in fact, the report came out this week that 80% of Microsoft's employees have an iPod.
Well, it's interesting that no matter who you talk to, even if they hate Apple, would never buy an Apple product. It's a toy. It's junk. They wouldn't cross the street to spit on Apple. They have an iPod.
They have an iPod. Yeah. So it's gotten to be so unpolitically correct at Microsoft that people are replacing the white iPod earbuds with other types of headphones.
Well, we talked about this last week. I told you I don't like the earbuds anyway. I replaced mine instantly.
So it's the people who are buying the iPod and Windows users fed up with all the viruses and spam and security holes and spyware are giving Apple a second try. The iPod is such a cool device. Maybe their other devices are nice too.
Well, so is Linux. I mean, Linux is really starting to grow market share too for the folks that have the investment of the hardware and, you know, just want to go to a different OS.
Yep, just something different, something better, that you don't have to worry about being down all the time with the latest whatever security hole it is.
Yep. Oh, yeah, the folks are getting really frustrated.
Yeah. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob, how come nobody pays attention to me, Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, with more news, more views, your phone calls, and a guest on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Nick Francesco.
I must be Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
Somebody has to be. And this is Soundbites. Before we get to the back to the news, I want to ask Steve just a little housekeeping question. Would you like to try mine?
Your cable?
Yeah.
You want to swap cables?
Steve's having a little cable trouble and can't record the show very clearly. I've got a cable that I'm streaming the show live, but recording it is more important than streaming it.
Well, the recording is leveling out now. The first few minutes were really low, so I'll have to edit that up later. Well, we'll swap at the next break and see if it
all
makes
right,
a
we'll
difference.
See what
see if it's my cable or my microphone adapter.
All righty. Yeah, right, exactly. All right. Here's the Microsoft news. Microsoft has released a dozen patches fixing 16 vulnerabilities in Windows, Internet Explorer, Office, and other programs.
That's just yesterday.
Eight of those. Yeah. Well, they only release patches once a month now, so they save them up until they have a good day, and then they have Patch Tuesday, and everything goes out.
You said a good day? When's that?
Yeah, it's a good day is when they don't have a dozen vulnerabilities. Eight of those fixes are critical, so do your updates. It's pretty important. A lot of that stuff is pretty important stuff. One of those patches was to Microsoft's MSN Messenger. So on Tuesday, they issued a patch to fix MSN Messenger. On Friday, noticing that the patch hadn't worked, they forced all of the MSN Messenger users to update to a new version of the software. So if you are an MSN Messenger, you notice there was an update to your system. Make sure you get that update because the old one... Well, in fact, if you were going to use it at all, it didn't...
Can I just say something really quick? I'm
Please,
sorry. This is very important what you're doing right now, but Steve almost just hung himself with the headphones.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny.
It was a Mia Bartolos nice. Moment.
I'm trying to get the camera set up so all three of us are in it.
For my fat Greek wedding.
Yes.
My big fat Greek wedding.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's entirely all right. Watching Steve hang himself is a lot more fun than listening to me read about Microsoft.
Unless it's that steep, no.
Microsoft then issued a notice to watch out for rogue code. pretty much that was the interesting stuff. The interesting thing to me is that Microsoft has delayed recently a number of their releases, their customer relationship management software and a couple of other things got pushed back. Apparently, customers... And Microsoft partners are advising Microsoft to slow down a little bit because they simply can't afford to keep rolling out all these new releases one after the other. You got to test them. You got to install them in some sort of test environment and test them to death and then quietly and slowly roll them out so that they don't bother anybody. So it's an interesting problem for the folks at Microsoft because they have a secondary problem, which, of course... is that they don't make any money if they're not selling you new stuff. So if they don't, you know, they don't make money on upgrades. They make money on new stuff or on saleable upgrades, not fixes. And if they can't sell do the upgrades and they can't sell new stuff because there just isn't any market for new stuff. They own 96% of the market. How are they going to make any money? It's an interesting problem keeping their people happy making money. And when the two get into conflict, where do you go? And for those of you who are running Quake 3, there is a denial of service vulnerability. So update Quake 3. It's probably the only one anybody's been interested in. We're going to take another quick break while we get Steve down from hanging himself
He's
off.
He's either going to hang himself or poke Rob Dias.
He tried to kill Rob just now with it. Really, it is too bad that
he
this
tried to impale me with a microphone, and I'm not okay with that.
Yeah, you just put it back right in the camera line.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. You know, excuse
but
me.
But the best,
I'm
though, was
buttons.
When Steve got up to run over to the camera to adjust that. And like
he still had the headphones on.
He almost got yanked right back
out. It's like watching the dog on the leash in the old Foghorn Leghorn cartoons.
5 foot headphone cables, and the camera's 6 feet away.
Exactly. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and more mayhem and mischief on Soundbite on 1180 WHAM.
It's that time. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites.
Joan, can you find Dave?
Thinks, oh, here he comes. I was going to say, I think he thinks the news is still on.
No, all right. And we're back. We're going to... we do want to remind you that long about noon, we're going to have a very special guest on the line. Before that, we're going to get to the phones. Before we get to the phones, let me remind you one more time that on the 19th of this month, the LUGOR group, the Linux User Group of Rochester, is having an install fest, an installation festival. It's a Linux, of course, is a free alternative operating system with free applications for personal computers and servers and everything in between. They're having a an installation festival on February 19th in the RIT campus in Building 74 in the first floor lab. If you're interested in Linux, but we're a little apprehensive of going it alone, then your time has come. Members of LUGOR want to help you install Linux on your computer. It's really pretty simple. You bring in your computer, they'll guide you through the installation process. You have to register online to reserve an installation time slot. See their website, www.lugor.org. That's L-U-G-O-R, lugor.org, for more information and to register.
You know, one thing that should be pointed out, though, Nick, is for folks, they've got to understand that, you know, if they've already got one machine, say they've got a second machine just kicking around, Linux does not need much horsepower. I mean, you can put that on a 286 with not a heck of a lot of memory, and it still kicks butt.
Right. Now, the thing to remember, of course, is that if you do that, it is going to run slower than a faster machine.
Oh, yeah.
I have a lot of people call me and say, I put Linux on an old computer, it ran real slow. How fast is the machine? Oh, it's about 90 megahertz. Hello?
But still not.
But the fact that you can, try putting XP on a 90 megahertz machine.
Yeah, you can.
Exactly.
That's what I was trying to get the point across. You can put it on another machine if you want to try it out on that, play around with it, get comfortable. Then, if you want to dump XP, then you can make the jump or leap of faith and convert over your bigger machine.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of folks that have second machines that are just don't know what to do.
And I use Linux every day, and I think it's a great product. Give the folks at LUGOR a look, LUGOR.org, and go to the... Even if you don't bring a computer to install, go and check it out. See how easy it is to install. See what other people think of it.
You can learn from that, yeah.
You can learn and play, and it should be fun. We're going to go to the phones now. And the first person we're going to speak to today is Frank from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Frank. What's your question?
I have two questions. One, what do you think of Spy Sweeper? And second, I downloaded an email program this week called IncrediMail, and it was kind of neat because you can actually block the junk mail from coming in and actually bounce it back to them. And since I've done that, my junk mail has dropped down to virtually nil. I just was curious what you think of that product also.
Well, one of the problems with bouncing email is a lot of times that tells the other end there's a real person.
Yeah, that's the best way. You never respond to remove me from this list. Click here.
The basic idea is they're just looking to see where there's a live person so they can sell a guaranteed live list to somebody else. So never respond, never bounce.
If the mail reader does the bounce properly, it looks like it's coming from the server as an unknown user.
Right.
But don't risk it.
Right.
Yeah, and as far as Spark Sweeper, my personal experience is, you know, I like the SpyBot and AdAware. They, in combination, do the best and thorough job. Not to say that the others aren't, you know, good, but I found that these two products cover more in finding stuff.
And in terms of IncrediMail, when I first downloaded, now this is a long time ago, this is like version 1, it was full of spyware. I don't know that that's true today. I simply haven't ever gone back to it, but I would be very careful to check before I really trusted it and make sure that it isn't. So I would, but you know, other than that, Incredimail was so cool because it did everything that you expect to see in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, envelopes fly in, noise happens, things get, yep. People pop up and say you've got mail waiting.
Animated smiley faces.
It is very cool, but yeah. I would be a little careful.
Yep.
Our next caller is Ray from around the corner.
There's something in the Windows directory called Run Once.
Well, yes. Run Once is just a general generic program or entry in the registry that a lot of programs use for, like, a registration program. So it runs once when your Windows starts. It doesn't run every time Windows starts.
Right, and it is from Microsoft. So whatever it's trying to run, it's like, for example, if you were running your antivirus and it had to finish an update after a reboot, it would go into Run Once.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't worry about it if it goes away after the next reboot. We have to take a break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. More of your phone calls. Don't forget that special guest coming up. Lots of interesting news, views, and of course, more about our personal lives on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We're back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Barbara from Chilai. Welcome, Barbara. What's your question?
Hi. I've been having a very frustrating network problem that's been going on for about 5 months and seemingly came out of the blue. We have four computers which are hooked up to Roadrunner with one modem and a wired router. Never had any problems until about 5 months ago. Ever since then, we've been having terrible problems with connectivity. At least once a day, I'm having to go into the status section of the web-based tool, discover all the DNS information's been dumped, having to renew the DHCP. I'm having to reset the router several times a day just to get connectivity. And, you know, we've tried everything we can think of. We've replaced the router. We have not replaced the modem, but the modem seems to be working fine. If you hook directly to that, it seems to work.
So
we've replaced cables.
One computer directly to the cable router never has a problem?
Well, we haven't done it for very long because the problem is both my husband and I work at home. So we have to have our computers up a lot of the time. So having two of the computers not hooked up to the internet is a problem for us.
Have you had him try switching out that, what did you say, Roadrunner?
Yeah.
Have him switch out that modem?
Well, they won't do that until you leave one machine connected to it for a long time. How long does it take for the problem to occur when all your machines are connected?
Well, it seems to be a persistent problem, although it's not necessarily predictable. Sometimes they'll go several hours with absolutely no problem in perfect service. Other times, it'll be a problem all day. Like right now, it's hardly working at all.
Well, let me suggest two things right off the bat.
Okay.
First, you might want to try hooking up one machine overnight and see if it's still connected in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That'll tell you whether or not the problem is at your end or at their end.
Right.
In the meantime, in addition to that, you can give them a call and ask them to test the line.
Well, I've done that.
Okay.
And they said the line is working fine. So I have to assume that for some reason it's the router, but I've tried two different routers on it and the problem persists.
I'm thinking it may well be a problem either in the modem or whatever, but you'll never get any action on it unless you leave one system hooked up for a while. So hook up one machine overnight when you're done working for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Hook up a machine overnight, get it connected, and see if it's still connected in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's not, then you can call them up and say, look, I've got one machine, and it gets disconnected all the time.
Okay.
But until you do that, they can't help you. And it's understandable because you don't know where the problem is.
I know, but and I've asked them about this, and all they say about it is, well, we just don't support routers.
Right, and that's why you have to hook one machine up and reproduce the problem on one machine.
Have you tried calling the router company and see what they have to say?
Yeah, did you replace it with the same brand?
Yes.
What brand?
Linksys.
Yeah, I doubt it's in the router. Yeah. Most likely, you know, it is that modem.
Do you have... let's talk about your wiring.
Okay.
Your power wiring.
Mm-hmm.
Is this router by any chance hooked into the same power bar as your printer?
No.
Okay. That's good. What else is in that power bar?
I'd have to look. It's a small power bar that's just doing the... it just has the modem, and looks like a lamp, and my monitor.
And the monitor is a big power draw, too.
Because the thing I'm wondering is if somehow the router isn't losing power every once in a while. Not enough to kill it, but enough to just cause glitches.
So maybe try putting it on a separate power bar entirely from the rest of the system and see if that helps.
Yes.
Different circuit.
Yeah, a different circuit if you can.
Yeah, I can put it on a different circuit. That's not a problem.
That would be a better test.
Yeah, that would be a better test. I would start with plugging one machine in overnight, and that will tell you where the problem lies. And then if it is at your end, start with moving the router to its own circuit.
Okay. Do you see your lights dim when like the refrigerator compressor turns on or something? Because that's usually an indication of insufficient power in your house.
No, it's an apartment complex. And I haven't noticed there being any power issues or anything like that.
Okay. The other thing to do is check to see if any of your neighbors have an unsecured wireless router, and then you can just hook up to them. I'm sorry. What I meant to say was try those things.
As a test.
I'm sorry. What I meant to say was try those things in the order that we just told you, and let us know.
Okay,
let us know
what
goes next.
All right.
Thanks. Bye-bye. I just misspoke for a moment there. It happens sometimes.
Well, it's a diagnostic test. Yeah. Because you have to test it with another router.
Well, yeah. And
that's true.
It'll find out who else in the neighborhood's still up and unsecure.
Yep.
Well, that's exactly right. It is an interesting problem. And, of course, we've had this discussion in the forums all the time. If somebody doesn't secure their router, do you have a moral obligation to not attach to it? I say yes, because that's like if you leave your door open, can I just walk into your house? Well, no, yeah. I still shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And so that's the kind of thing. But at any rate, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
If it's answering your computer questions for over 15 years, it's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. Our next caller is either Ron or Rue. I'm assuming you meant Ron. From Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Thanks, guys.
Is Kanga there with you?
Yeah, I'm hanging here. Anyway, I downloaded SpyBot and AdAware and took care of spy stuff in here. And then when I went to delete some stuff in AdAware, something went wrong. And I guess I deleted something. And now I got an error message saying error loading C:\program.1 wild and a bunch of numbers and letters. And it ends with .1DLL.
You still get some spyware.
Well, it's part of the Wild Tangent marketing program. They claim they're not spyware, but they're used by a lot of spyware. What happened
is not their fault.
It's not their fault, yeah. What happened is that the program file was removed, but the registry entry wasn't. So when you boot the computer, it's trying to load that program and can't. So the error message is correct and annoying.
Right. You might want to try booting in safe mode and running the programs again, both in safe mode. Now, you've done the updates?
Yes.
To both AdAware and SpyBot?
Well, I haven't done it in about 4 days.
You need to do it. Double check to make sure. Always. And again, after we're done with you, I'll repeat the address. But you definitely want to try maybe running it in safe mode. Safe mode, this way, everything generic just gets loaded.
Okay, well, someone suggested I may have to... If I can't reload Windows, if that was necessary, format, start all over.
No, completely not necessary. No.
Yeah, just try running these in safe mode. And for you folks out there that want to get a list of the steps and procedures on how to run, update, and keep it up current to SpyBot and AdAware, if you email LLYNCH, that's L Lynch, at enrightpc.com, my lovely wife will send you off this whole complete checklist of things to do to keep SpyBot and AdAware up to date and keep you secure weekly.
All right, well, thank you.
Bottom line of what you may end up doing is going into the registry and manually removing those wild tangent entries, that's dangerous.
But before you do that, you might want to listen to the second half of the show when we'll have a guest on and we'll be talking about that sort of
product.
Thing.
Oh, there's another product that he's got I want to talk to him about.
So don't do it until after you listen to the whole show, Ron.
Fantastic.
Our next caller is John from Victor, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Yeah, I've got a well-known mail service I've been using for a couple of years, and just this last week they got this pop-up on the middle of the screen when you're trying to do a forward on the mail, and it's got a series of numbers and letters, and they say type them in the box, and then it says continue. And I've done that many times, and nothing happens. It sends you to the log-on screen. It's driving me crazy. I don't know if it's some virus I picked up or whatever, but it's...
It's a very routine method of websites verifying there's a real person sitting at the terminal and not a robot.
Yeah, that's what it says on the screen, but it doesn't work. It just keeps routing you back to sign-on, and then the pop-up comes on.
Are you typing those letters and numbers exactly as they appear?
Upper and lower case and everything?
No, it said it's not case-sensitive.
No. I think you might have some spyware on there.
Yeah, but it's not related to this entry point. This is just trying to do
a this is a pretty normal thing, but try make it's so hard to know exactly what they want. Sometimes they want spaces that you can't really see well.
Sometimes you can't figure out what that letter really is.
It's a one or an L, that's sort of fair.
And I just type in the characters that are really recognizable, and there's about 8 of them in each case. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of squiggly lines around them, but I only type in the ones that, you know, are unmistakable.
Well, you have to type them all in. That's the problem.
Well, I think I do, but there's a lot of squiggly lines that...
You might want to put it on there to block that pop-up. If you're using Internet...
Well, then you won't be able to go on. I mean, what is your mail service?
Hotmail.
Yeah. That's one of the new things that they're doing nowadays, because so many spam companies are using Hotmail that they're trying to solve it. The problem is that there are a lot of glitches in it, and you really need to type in all those letters. I would type them in. I would not assume it's case insensitive.
Okay.
Try that and let us know.
Yeah, because I want to
That is
switch.
Unfortunately from them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hate to switch because all my mail directory listings are all, you know, years old.
No, I completely understand that.
Unfortunately, it's almost assumed these days that anything from Hotmail is junk mail, and most programs filtered out.
Big time.
Well, I really have had no problem with spam or unwanted mail. I mean, it's... Well, really minimum.
It's people you send mail to. See, it comes from Hotmail and may ignore it.
Yeah.
Because Hotmail is such a known spam source.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your help, and I'll try using case.
Try that. And let us know.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Sorry, John. Yeah, I have to say that a couple of the anti-spam programs I've seen suggest that you block Hotmail, except for the people... You know, put in your white list the people you know. Now, unfortunately, in RIT, I can't really do that. So,
well,
we're
a lot of places
stuck,
you
but,
can't
yeah.
because, like you say, it's a known place for spam and viruses to be passed around, and they're a little gun shy because they've been bitten too many times.
And you gotta give Microsoft some credit. They're trying to fix the problem. They're trying to make it so that it works. Lots of companies have written Hotmail bots. You give it a list of addresses, and it just quietly goes in and sends out all the mail. This is their attempt to break all those bots. If you can't, because the graphic that John is reading, the numbers that John is reading are actually a graphic, so that the bot can't scrape the screen and find the words. It's a graphic, so if a human isn't actually looking at it and typing it in,
then you get
nothing. Yep. So it's an interesting. It's an interesting problem, but
like
I don't know that there's a solution.
A zero and an O, and a one and an L.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, some of them, like you say, depending on its resolution and all that on a screen, can be confusing.
Right. Our next caller, Mike.
No.
Mike, you will be our next caller after we get back to the phones, and we've also got a couple of other people on the line. But unfortunately, we are going to take another break. We're going to have the magnificent Joan Brandenburg in to do the news and weather and sports and stuff. And then when we come back, we're going to talk to a very special guest. We're going to have lots of stuff about the poll and everything else. It's just going to be another danged good hour on the greatest computer show in the known universe. Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, after all of that on 1180 WHAM.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We have today a very special guest. Dave went out and apparently pestered people until somebody actually said yes and came on the show.
This guy is really great. His name is, I'll kind of introduce you here, Michael. It's Michael Woods, and he is in charge of, he is VP of Sales in the U.S. and Canada for the product that we have been touting, folks, for what, now over 3 years?
Over 3 years.
Which is Adaware. There's a lot of great products, and there's one especially here, Michael, that I want to talk to you about. But again, just a little more information.
Welcome to the show, Michael.
Welcome, Michael.
Thank you.
You guys started this company up, from what I understand from the stats, in Germany in mid-90s, and you're now headquartered, and where you're calling from right now is Sweden.
Yes, sir, it is.
And just wanted to welcome you on. I know we got a few folks that got some questions for you, but why don't you go on and tell us a little bit about the product, which, you know, a lot of our listeners know of.
Yes, definitely. Adaware is the leading anti-spyware product in our market. We were the first ones to actually offer a solution in late 1999 and have been developing it ever since. It continues to lead the market in technology, effectiveness, and ease of use. And I'm sure you've had an opportunity, seeing how you've been using it for 3 years, to compare it to some of the other ones in our space, and know that it's a fantastic product.
It is.
Step four in what we call the Security Tango to keep your machines clean and neat. It's at securitytango.com, and we've been touting it for years. It's a great, thank you. It's a great product.
And I mean, there's not a machine that leaves my shop nowadays. And like I say, we've been doing this for over a year and a half of putting it automatically on people's machines and telling them how to run it so that perhaps they'll go out and get one upgrade to one of your other products, which is either the Pro, the Plus, or the Personal Edition.
In fact, we have a sort of unofficial contest going here about who can find the most spy programs.
Yeah, I think we've had, Michael, just since you know you and I have talked, we had one person find over 100,000 pieces of spyware with Adaware.
They were able to start the system?
Yeah.
Well, they said it took quite a long time. I mean, my best, I think, is 4,046.
Yeah, I've had over 5,000 on one computer.
It's pretty astonishing. And the fact that your software grabs it all and kills it all is great.
Oh, that's fantastic, yes.
And, well, plus you also add on, and again, you guys offer this free for a lot of the folks that just want to try it out, and you also include the add-ons. I mean, for, you know, the VK2 and those types of features, that, you know, is unbelievable that a company will do that to help people clean up their machines, because that's the bulk of it right now is spyware. We've already had a few callers, and basically their machines are being taken over by spyware.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a huge problem, and it doesn't. There's no indication that it's going to lessen. In fact, it's probably going to get worse over time.
It's almost worse than viruses now, because all the mail servers are checking for viruses before they pass mail.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that there's different motivations behind that. You have people that are coding for viruses and Trojans aren't necessarily looking to upgrade or change their products, you know, or their products, but their applications. They put them together maybe to prove a point or to show a security hole or just to make a name. Where you're talking about spyware, you're looking at someone that's actually looking to generate money, so there's a huge incentive there to develop.
Would you mind answering a listener's question?
No problem.
Okay, Steve from Rochester, you got a question for Mike?
Hello, Steve.
Hi. I just have a question. Your product is excellent. I use the SE Professional. But I noticed that Microsoft just came out with a beta on a anti-spy program, and I also use WebRoots. And I'd like to know what your take is on both of those programs.
In both cases, now, if you're looking at specifically the Microsoft one, it is, of course, in beta. It's a young product, and it...
It's already been hacked.
That was recent news. But it's a good product, but, again, it's young. It has a ways to go before it can catch up to where our technology is, and of course, the other one is a competitor of ours, and is a viable solution. But ours still leads their application in its ability to detect and remove content.
Considering Microsoft's past history with buying technology instead of inventing it, did they come to you guys at all?
Well. It's an excellent product. One other question. How often do you update your files? Because it doesn't seem to be too consistent.
Our average has been about one new definition file every 2 to 3.5 days. We're currently bringing on additional resources in research and development, so it's slowed things down a little bit while they're being trained, but that's going to definitely pick up, and it's going to be weekly or biweekly here in the future.
Okay, well, keep up the good work. Excellent product. Thank you.
Thank you.
We can't help but agree. It is an excellent product.
Yeah, like I say, Mike, one of the other products that's a little known that we really haven't touted, and I've just discovered, which literally is an answer to a prayer for me, is Reg Hands.
Oh, really?
You don't know how often, and people don't realize this, when you uninstall a program, it really doesn't uninstall it officially from the registry. There's always remnants. Now, like, just on my machine alone, I just recently uninstalled McAfee. And I just for tickles and grins, I put your Reg Hands on there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, normally, old way is I'd have to do a search in the registry and look through and find each one at a time. Whereas your product, I was able to say, just find anything that references McAfee. Within a few seconds, it came back with 46 entries still in the registry of a product that's already uninstalled and would allow me all at once to delete all those entries.
In fact, this is a solution from one of our previous callers that had the wild tangent left behind.
So, Ron, this was the answer we said we'd get to you later.
Right.
It's a product called Reg Hands. It's from the LavaSoft people at LavaSoftUSA.com.
You've literally created another product, which is, in essence, a godsend for a lot of folks, because we don't like to tell folks to go into the registry and play around.
Yeah, we don't want them calling us up and saying, oh, I went in the registry and can't start my machine.
But your
now.
Product makes it safe.
Yeah, well, it was designed originally as a replacement for the native Windows Registry Editor.
Right.
It has quite a bit more functionality than the one that comes with Windows. But it was really designed more for the use of experts, et cetera, to work within the registry, especially if you spend a lot of time in there. You'll find some very nice features as far as that's concerned.
I thought I was until I found your product. I thought I was going to develop carpal tunnel because of doing the F1, delete and enter. And, you know, those three keystrokes.
Find next, delete, enter.
I'll tell you what, Michael. I looked at an awful lot of products before we put together the steps of the Security Tango. And I was delighted with the quality of Adaware back then. And as time has gone on, I've seen no reason not to be even more delighted. It's a great product. You folks have done an incredible job with it.
Anything
and the fact that you offer a free version just completely blows me away.
Oh, that serves two very important purposes. When Adaware was first conceived of, there were no other solutions available. You had to go to specialized forums, spend time trying to learn exactly what to do, how to do it, in extensive procedures. And that's why we have a free version. Is part of that commitment from the very beginning that there wasn't anything else out there that would do what Adaware could do.
Yeah.
And it also serves a nice purpose that it can actually get people used to the software, comfortable with it, and after using it, they're more likely to move to one of the registered editions.
And tell us what the benefits are of the registered editions.
The main feature of the registered editions is the AdWatch real-time monitor that is meant to function. It's not the same as, but a similar idea to what an antivirus resident scanner is doing by protecting the registry, watching the memory for suspicious processes, dangerous changes to the registry, attempted integration of things in our database. So it's a proactive solution that keeps the content off your system rather than a reactive situation where you're using the personal edition to, you suspect something, okay, I'm going to go and do a scan.
Right. It's very nice. It's a very nice product. And for those of you who've been plagued by the fact that every time you open Outlook Express, Microsoft Messenger opens, they have a tool that fixes that as well.
Yeah, it's amazing when you see that some people or some companies were actually charging for that, and all it is just turning off a service in Windows. There was no reason for that. That's why we made that plug-in, so it would be easy just to go ahead and turn it off.
And again, you're offering these for free. You know, solutions, you know, I mean, you could just offer just the basic Adaware, but like I said, these add-ons, you're also offering those for free for folks to correct issues.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable. What do you see on the horizon for Adaware? As far as new features or anything else that you might be able to talk about?
Well, some of the new things that are happening now with the software, they're actually currently available. If you've looked at it, Adaware is actually able to scan within alternate data streams on NTFS file systems, which is a very interesting development in the fact that none of our competitors actually offer that protection. And we've found that indications that this is an area that's going to be explored more extensively in the future by advertising content.
Mm-hmm.
Say you've got, you could think of it more like a pocket on any file folder or directory in Windows.
Mm-hmm.
And that pocket could actually have any content up to, in theory, the size of the hard drive.
Very cool.
Would never be able to see it or see where it was coming from unless you were able to see that content.
Exactly.
Because you can't see it in Windows Explorer.
Exactly. Michael, I wish we had more time. It's been an honor and a pleasure to talk
to
you.
Thank you very much,
sir. Okay.
Thank you so much for being on the show with us. We'll be back in touch after the show or during the week. Dave will give you a call. I want to thank Michael Woods for being on the show and talking to us about Adaware. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and more of your phone calls on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
From PCs to Macs, these guys can answer your questions. Back to more Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benner.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be back to your calls in just a moment. Before we do, I want to talk very quickly about our poll. Every week we put one up. Last week was about the blaster worm. The author was sentenced to 18 months in prison. And the question was, what do you think about that sentence? 294 of you voted, making it number 97 on the all-time hit list. Thanks to each and every one of you. 52% of you thought he should have the sentence should have involved the removal of body parts. 32% of you thought it was too lenient. 12% of you just thought it was just right, and only 4% of you thought it was too harsh. This week's poll was about identity theft. There was an interesting article in the paper this week that said that your inbox could be safer than your mailbox. There's a new survey out that suggests identity thieves are much more likely to target you in the real world than to target you online. Of course, I've been saying this forever.
Yeah.
To actually steal somebody's information via the internet takes an amazing amount of technical expertise to get their to get your identity. In the real world, takes a pair of rubber gloves and a little dumpster diving.
Right.
And you're done.
There's no encryption.
Right.
And not even that dirty diving anymore, because all the paper recyclables are sitting in their own little bin.
That's exactly right. And so what they're finding is Javelin Strategy and Research, according to the 2005 Identity Fraud Survey report, says the annual loss from someone who discovered they were a victim was about $4,500 in the real world, and in an electronic situation, the loss was only $551. So that's what they're seeing. So the question is, where do you worry more about your identity theft, online or in the real world? So far, we've had 81 of you voting, the overwhelming majority, 68% of you, say that you are more worried about identity theft in the real world, which is a healthy attitude, I think. Once you're done entering your poll choice, you'll see below the poll a little yellow box. Click any Give Us Your Opinion link, and it'll take you over to my website, AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. Yeah, baby. And you can enter in an opinion on the poll. So far, we've got 8 people who've entered opinions. Every single one of them, I'm shocked to say. Most of them have to do with the actual opinion poll, which is a lovely thing to see. So please join us. And then once you're done entering your opinion, please join us back on the Soundbites website, because the forums are the coolest places on earth. Very neat people. Very interesting stuff going on. We're back to the phones now.
We were discussing during the break how cold it was in Sweden.
Yeah.
It's warmer in Sweden than it is in Rochester. It's currently 28 degrees in Stockholm.
And here it's 27?
It's 22 degrees here.
22 here.
And the sun is setting in Stockholm. So it's getting colder, and it's still warmer than Rochester.
Thanks. I so needed to hear that. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Okay, now we're going to go back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Mike from Gates, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
I got 2 questions, Nick. My first question is about Adware.
Sure.
I'll run it, get rid of whatever it finds.
Yeah.
Then 5 minutes later, I run it again, and it finds the same stuff. Like, it never got rid of it.
Well, what happens is your download. Are you on a broadband connection, always on connection, like Roadrunner or DSL?
Roadrunner.
Yeah. What's happening is the stuff keeps getting downloaded. Whatever, either web browsing software you're using or email program you're using.
Thunder is IST bar. That's what it finds.
Yes. Sure. If you've downloaded any one of the additional bars that you
Google.
Can add to.
I think the Google bar is the only one that doesn't have spyware.
That doesn't have
it,
right.
Yeah, but what I'm saying
all those bars
yeah,
that
like
you
that.
Can add to Internet Explorer.
Well, I just downloaded Firefox this morning.
Right, so you should find, as long as you've turned all that stuff off and you delete it again and don't run the program, you should find that you've lessened a lot of that stuff.
Well, I still get it. Well, I mean,
it's going to
keep. I didn't answer, I downloaded Firefox.
Was something else running on your machine that's letting it come in? And one of the tricks that we tell people is that you have to run Adware and Spybot in safe mode, so they can delete the stuff that's currently running resident, because you can't delete a running
Spybot
program.
Spybot will do a pretty good job too of that. if it finds a lot of things that it can't remove, when you reboot, it'll say, listen, next time you reboot, I'm going to start, okay?
Before anything else
Before anything else gets running, and you want to let it do it that.
I never get any updates for Adware, too. Whenever I click on update,
then that's a problem.
What version
have you
Adware
run the entire Security Tango?
Yeah, I always do.
You're running the Adware SE?
Adware 6.0?
No, that was discontinued 4 months ago.
Yeah.
And so how do I get the new version?
You just go to the website, our website, Security Tango, and download the most current version of Adware SE. And
SE?
SE. Second edition.
And one of those times you clicked on update button, it would have popped up a message.
Is that free?
Yes, it is.
A message will pop up.
And that should help?
For everybody as
well.
That
should help.
Okay, another question. About my system config utility box?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a whole bunch of stuff in there that looks like junk. It's called Windows TBSDMEXE.
Say it again.
Windows/TBSDM.EXE. It's the command. Is that junk? Yeah.
TBSDM?
TBSDM.EXE.
Right. Sounds like more spyware.
The big problem is most people have no idea what any of that stuff is.
I'm afraid to...
Right. Type it into a Google search and see what it comes up with. And if it's a legitimate program, then it's probably
something
that should be there.
But I would first get the updated version of Adware SE, get the updates for it, run that before doing anything else. And I think you're going to be a lot safer.
Yeah, this is a problem that a lot of people ran into, that when they hit that update button, no updates come in. But at the bottom of that update window, it says, important news, new version released. Yeah. You must go download it.
Yeah, and they don't.
And they don't read it.
And they don't read it.
And they didn't see it.
One of the other confusions I've run into with especially more novice users is after Adware finds all its stuff, you have to manually select all of those items that you want it to delete.
Mm-hmm.
So right-click on one and say select all. Otherwise, it's not deleting them. You just say continue, and it leaves them there because you didn't mark any to be deleted.
Yep.
Right.
Well, that's why I suggest to folks to download that list for my wife, because she walks you through step-by-step procedure on how to run or install, update, and run both those programs. And the other key thing within SpyBot that a lot of folks don't do is the immunization. Under SpyBot, it's got immunize, and you got to click on the little plus green bar to say immunize, and it adds that list so further things are blocked.
Right.
If you don't do that part, you're missing part of the puzzle.
Exactly. Our next caller, Brian from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Thanks, guys. I voted for removable body parts, by the way.
Thank you.
I got two quick ones. One is, do you know or where can I get the code to add to my website and where my link for my email gives an auto subject line, so they don't have to type it in so I know who it's from.
You want somebody to click on your name and up comes the subject.
Right, the mail comes up with a subject already in there, so I know it's mine.
What are you using to write your code? Are you using just plain old HTML or PHP, or what are you using?
HTML.
I haven't used HTML.
Here it is. A space href equals quote mail to colon you at yourdomain.com. So it's your basic email address in there. Then put question mark subject equals and what you want the subject to be, and the quote and the bracket.
Okay, that was a little quick.
But I'll put that on the link list.
Okay, cool.
Put it on our link list.
Yeah, do a Google search for email auto entry.
Okay, great. My big problem is I got 2,000. I'm getting a blue screen of the physical memory dump. Check newly installed hardware, disable hard drive caching. I did that, and I went into regedit and found something, changed it from true to false, and I'm still getting it.
What are the error messages that you got?
The physical memory dump. Check any newly installed hardware, disable hardware drive caching. And then there's another section I found that it said go into regedit. And
how much memory's in the machine?
I got 512 DDR.
Is it all one stick?
Nope.
Try taking one stick out. And just run it and then see if it still gives you that issue. And then you can always swap that other stick just to see if it is actually, bad memory.
Okay. Very good.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Thanks. You're going to have to do a little bit of detective work there, Brian, but you should come out all right. Our next call is Joe from Buffalo. Hey, Joe, what do you know?
Well, I have a suggestion for the guy that's having trouble with the CAPTCHAs, and that is Microsoft is pretty good about this. They provide and often provide an alternate means of answering the challenge. Microsoft uses an auditory one, so if you have your speakers connected up, it'll actually pronounce the letters and numbers and whatever that you have to type in to that challenge in order to meet the test.
Oh, no kidding!
Cool. Yeah.
Oh, John, if you're still listening, check that out. So that's a choice you make somewhere in the setup, or
yeah,
what?
There's a they often provide a link that's right beside the caption itself. You know, if you have difficulty with this, click here.
Right. So in other words, when John is at the thing and he goes to send the mail and it pops up and says type in these things, he'll also find a link that says if you are visually impaired or whatever, click here,
yeah,
and it'll
exactly
speak it to you and you can type it in.
Microsoft is pretty good about that. XP also
built into it is the screen enlargement too.
Right, right. Well, but in this case, what he's talking about is because it's a graphic that
you
can do. That's great, Joe.
That
thanks.
Cool. Thank you for the tip.
I love it when our users call in and solve problems for us.
Yeah, help out.
Exactly. Our next caller is Vito from Chi-Li, New York. Welcome, Vito. What's your question?
Oh, thank you. First off, I want to thank you for the recommendation for the JPEG EarthInView. It was great.
Oh, good. How good. You liked EarthInView. I love it.
It's present in Media Player any day. Here's the problem I have. I'm with Firefox, and I'm having trouble getting the plugins in. So I've gone to About Plugins, and I see what plugins I have, and first off, my default plugin is not enabled, and I don't know how to enable it. That's the first problem I have. And the second problem is when I go to download the plugins and I get the article that says how to install them, it tells me where to look for them, and it's C: Windows Application Data Mozilla Plugins. Well, I don't have that file. And then it has a note here, and it says, not the Firefox profile folder, which is what I do have, and it gives a bug.
All right. What version of Firefox are you running?
1.0.
All right. And the plugins that you're trying to include?
I'm trying to put Java Runtime Environment. And according to my About config, it's in there.
It's in there.
Yeah, so I shouldn't have to download it, and every time I go to use it, it says getting it, and then it says finished, but I don't get it.
But who's, Java's such a problem for everybody. Which Java plugin are you downloading?
Let's see if I have that.
And do you have the real Java JVM from Sun?
Yeah, I went to Sun to get it. I agreed with their EULA, and I can't tell you the Java that I'm getting. I don't have that written down.
Okay.
It does say that a Sun Java older than 1.3 will not work. You need 1.4. And on the Mozilla Firefox FAQ page, it has the easiest way to get Java working is to use the official installer from Firefox.
You need to actually run the installer before you run the plugin. Java has to be running on your system before the plugin can connect to it and do things.
And so, I'll put that link on our website.
And we'll take another quick break, but we're going to be back right after the commercials with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, more of your calls, and other kinds of interesting stuff on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
When a bus carrying a Canadian hockey team had a horrific accident. Computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller, Dave from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Good afternoon.
couple of quick questions. I hope it should be easy for you. First one would be, as far as storing data on CDs, how safe is that data? I mean, for important document type thing, as far as...
If you use the gold CDs...
And CDR, not RW.
Right. They'll last for a very, very, very long time. The blue ones or any of the other, the green ones, any of the other colors, don't last nearly as long. After a few years, they start to fade.
Okay. And I just got a new iBook, and I'm just running the Virex program that came with the .Mac subscription, and I'm wondering, do I need any sort of ad program or spyware program?
Nope, there aren't any for the Mac.
There aren't yet. Any. Okay.
And it's good that you're running Virex. I keep hearing from people who say, well, Macs don't have viruses. Even if they didn't, which, of course, they do have a few, but even if they didn't, it's good to be a good net citizen, and when you have email that you're going to forward to other people and whatever, you're making sure it's clean before it goes off your machine.
Someone could send you from a PC a Windows virus.
Mm-hmm. Which you won't get, but you would pass on to the next person.
Okay.
Very good, Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next caller, Peter, on a cell phone, pulled over to the side of the road, of course. Peter,
hey,
are you there?
Afternoon, rather. Quick question. I just got a nice little laptop, and it came version of Microsoft Office 2000 Standard Edition. Mm-hmm. I own a copy of 2003 professional. Should I uninstall the bundled one before installing the new one?
Yes.
I think the installer tries to do that for you, but you're probably safer doing it yourself
first.
Yeah, I do
first. Go into add remove programs, remove that first, just so things don't get messed up, because your documents will still be saved over into the document folder under your username, and then do the clean install.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome.
Sure, and of course, you can't have that same copy installed somewhere else as well.
Exactly.
Our next caller is Dave from... Didn't we just talk to Dave from Fairport?
Yeah, I'm assuming that was a different one.
Yeah,
kind of weird.
Okay, there's at least two Daves in Fairport.
That we know of.
Hi, Dave, what's your question? Oh, were you on the line going, hello? Hello?
Yeah, I was, exactly.
I'm so sorry.
I'm thinking, what's that voice on here? Got a couple of questions on Word.
Mm-hmm.
I got a document. This is something that happened recently that got 34 pages, and when I tried to print a section of it, it no longer does that. It will print the whole document or a current page, but not a page range.
A selected area?
Do what?
You just can't print a selected area.
So right.
You can't say print page range 1-3.
Right.
What do you get as an error message?
I don't get an error message. It acts like it went through the process. The queue on the status bar there pops up quick, and then it goes away like it printed, but it never goes to the printer.
Is your document numbered funny? Does it like start at page 100?
No, it's 1 through 34, 34 pages, and I can't get a... And this used to work, if I wanted to do odd evens to do back-to-back printing or something.
What word processor is it?
It's Word 2002.
But if you print the whole thing, it works?
Yeah, or if I go to a current page, that also works fine.
Have
anywhere.
You done any updates to the machine lately?
The only thing new is a printer, and that's... I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I haven't figured out why, if it does.
Check the printer manufacturer for an updated driver.
That OS.
Might be part of the driver.
Okay, yeah, that's a good... I didn't do that. That'd be a good idea.
Yeah, because, was working fine. Like you said, all you did was the printer drivers was the only thing that's really changed.
Well, I bought a new printer, yeah.
Yeah, you might want to go up to their website and see if there's any updates for that OS. Because
they might
have changed one part of the code. And now, if you wanted to do, say, part of page 20 and part of page 21, you selected that text and print that section, and it won't let you do it now.
There are two other things you might try. One is print. Do you have sections in the thing?
No, it's all one big document.
Okay. Then there is a way to print by section. But what I might suggest you try is save the document in rich text format and then reopen it. It's possible that there's a corruption and that saving it in rich text format will dump that bit of corruption because it's in a piece that isn't used. Now, you may lose a little bit of formatting, but at least you'll know if that's the problem.
Yeah, because it's a mail merge document, so maybe something did happen in the merge.
Yeah, exactly. Try that.
Okay, and then one other quick question on Word.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I opened an email that had I had to load the Chinese format, mm-hmm. and now every time I open Word, it tells me it's trying to install something. Is there a way to find what it's trying to install and get rid of that? I have to cancel.
It's trying to install a virus, probably.
Well, maybe. But what you might want to do is go into the macros, see what macros are there, and see if there seems to be something you don't want, like trying to install a Chinese character set or right-to-left printing or up and down printing or whatever.
It might also be in the add-remove programs. That's another like patch that's put in. So you might want to check under add-remove programs, too, and see, you know, that Chinese part, if it's listed there, and just say remove it.
There you go. Our next caller, Rick from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Rick. What's your question?
I'm running a ThinkPad. I've got Win2K on it. It's running great, except I'm unable to boot into safe mode. When I try to, I get a blue screen, and it says the video driver failed to initialize. I've reinstalled the video drivers from IBM. That doesn't do it. I'm kind of at a loss.
What model ThinkPad?
R31.
But regular mode works okay.
Yes.
That's usually the opposite.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why it's very strange.
So you don't have the option there, safe mode with network?
Well, I've got the option there, mm-hmm. and I click on it, and it starts to load, and then it goes to the famous blue screen, and I get the error message, the video driver failed to initialize, and then it starts to do a memory dump.
Well, yeah, because, see, what it's trying to do is when you go into safe mode, you know, if you have a better video card in that for it, which it uses in normal mode versus safe mode. Safe mode uses just a very generic, plain
640 by 480. Yeah, and the laptop may not support that
video card. Yeah, and well, it should though.
Well, this is just the standard video card that's built into the system board.
Yeah, but see, there's a difference, though. In regular mode, it can do a lot better graphics. Mm-hmm. The best you're going to get in safe mode is 640 by 480 and maybe 16 color.
What I would try is there's a built-in diagnostics in the ThinkPad. I would try playing with those and seeing if there's some sort of problem that it can find with the video or the video driver. But you're right, it should work. I've seen lots of people in the mode who are on the web who are, in fact, booting into safe mode without a problem. Our next thing that we're going to do is take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe and the most confused, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham! Stat! Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
He finds that amusing.
No, what I find amusing is that I just, you know, a little... No,
what were we talking?
He finds himself amused. He says his name and it amuses him. No. Got to think about changing it, because if it makes you laugh that much, you know, maybe you ought to try something different, something a little shorter.
Oh, boy, I love it.
Okay, we're all back right. to the phones.
How about Lynn Roberts?
Lynn Roberts.
Yeah.
Lynn Roberts? Isn't that the name of, like, a female?
Not always. No, okay. Lynn is a man's name.
Yeah.
Lyndon, short for Lyndon.
Yeah. Lyndon Johnson.
Lyndon Johnson.
Lyndon.
Lady Bird called him Lynn. It's a whole other story. Anyway, our next caller is Gene from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Gene. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I've got a problem with a wireless network card.
Sure.
I have a wireless network at home.
Sure.
I use a D-Link router. I forgot the model number off the top of my head. And... I have the router located in my basement, and I have two PCs up on my second floor of my house. I have a Cape Cod house. One PC works fine. That uses a USB LAN adapter for my wireless. Mm-hmm. It works great. As a matter of fact, it picks up one of my neighbor's networks, which, of course, I don't do anything with.
No, of course not.
My other one has a PCI slot wireless card. It's 802.11b. And what happens there, it just keeps connecting and disconnecting. Intermittently. I don't think it stays connected for more than 5 minutes at a time. And then it disconnects. When it's connected, it says my signal strength is excellent. And then all of a sudden it drops out. My USB LAN adapter, no problem, stays hooked up all the time.
Is the USB LAN adapter also 802.11b?
Yes, sir, it is. And the router is a G. So I've checked the different settings. I really don't know what the like thresholds and things like that should be, but it seems like I set them for matching values.
Yeah.
And the channels and the security and whatnot. And I just can't figure it out.
Are the two computers physically in the same room, or are they in different rooms?
They're right across the hall. They're no more than 15 feet apart. And well, they're both it may the be same axis, like apart from
maybe
the, from
something
the
in the construction of the walls. Can you move one temporarily so they're next to each other?
Well, I actually experienced this with the same computer when I had it down in the basement, right next to the router.
Well, and so that's clear. Yeah, you clearly are having a problem. Operating system?
I'm running XP Pro on all machines.
And are you using the latest drivers for that PCI wireless card?
Yes, I downloaded.
Who makes that card?
Hacker or something. I can't.
Yeah. It's clearly, at best, a third-party card.
Oh, absolutely.
You might want to try even a USB by Linksys. You can get the USB little hub that just plugs into the USB port for that instead of having the card.
I would try a USB LAN adapter on the other one, too, just to see if, in fact, it's the hardware.
Uninstall and reinstall. Try the other wireless adapter on this computer, and that will try to help you lead where the problem might lay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably your best bet. Well, I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm tough. I can take it. We're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. I really want to thank Mike Woods for being on the show with us all the way from Sweden, where it's warmer than it is here in Rochester. Thank you so much, Steve, for letting us know that. We're going to be back here next Saturday, whether you like it or not, with Dave, Steve.
No, we're going to be here Sunday. You can.
Oh, yeah,
Saturday.
We will be here Sunday with Dave, Steve, and Rob, me, Nick, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Guys, I know.